A few years ago, on Christmas Eve, I was called to examine a 14-year-old boy at the Suffolk County Jail. Jack had been arrested for breaking into the house of neighbors who were away on vacation. The burglar alarm was howling when the police found him in the living room. The first question I asked Jack was who he expected would visit him in jail on Christmas. "Nobody," he told me. "Nobody ever pays attention to me." It turned out that he had been caught during break-ins numerous times before. He knew the police, and they knew him. With delight in his voice, he told me that when the cops saw him standing in the middle of the living room, they yelled, "Oh my God, it's Jack again, that little motherfucker." Somebody recognized him. Somebody knew his name. A little while later, Jack confessed, "You know, that's what makes it worthwhile. Kids will go to almost any length to feel seen and connected." Living with the parents you have. Children have a biological instinct to attach. They have no choice. Whether their parents or caregivers are loving and caring, or distant, insensitive, rejecting, or abusive, children will develop a coping style based on their attempt to get at least some of their needs met. We now have reliable ways to assess and identify these coping styles, thanks largely to the work of two American scientists. Mary Ainsworth and Mary Main and their colleagues, who conducted thousands of hours of observation of mother-infant pairs over many years. Based on these studies, Ainsworth created a research tool called The Strange Situation, which looks at how an infant reacts to temporary separation from the mother. Just as Bowlby had observed, securely attached infants are distressed when their mother leaves them, but they show delight when she returns, and after a brief check-in for reassurance, they settle down and resume their play. But with infants who are insecurely attached, the picture is more complex. Children whose primary caregiver is unresponsive or rejecting learn to deal with their anxiety in two distinct ways. The researchers noticed that some seemed chronically upset and demanding with their mothers, while others were more passive and withdrawn. In both groups, contact with the mothers failed to settle them down. They did not return to play contentedly, as happens in secure attachment. In one pattern, called avoidant attachment, the infants look like nothing really bothers them. They don't cry when their mother goes away, and they ignore her when she comes back. However, this does not mean that they are unaffected. In fact, their chronically increased heart rates show that they are in a constant state of hyperarousal. My colleagues and I call this pattern dealing but not feeling. Most mothers of avoidant infants seem to dislike touching their children. They have trouble snuggling and holding them, and they don't use their facial expressions and voices to create pleasurable back-and-forth rhythms with their babies.